I want to welcome everybody to the worship today. It's been a good week. We were certainly blessed with a lot of good news on a lot of folks that we have been concerned about, not the least of which was hearing that Berkeley made it through her surgery without having to go through quite as much. And so in addition to that, we're 1 week closer to the next rain, which is a good thing, and we have God taking care of us until that point. And what a blessing that is. I really appreciated the song service so far. I really enjoy the thoughts of the song we just sang. Just the idea that we have an opportunity to be with God forever, to have that second chance because of God's grace, is an amazing thing. And you can take Him up on it at any time you want to. And what a beautiful thing that is. Last Sunday night, we started talking about a return to simpler times. And I want to look at five things this morning that will help us in that. But I want to begin those five things by saying this. They will only work if you're in a covenant relationship with God. What do we mean by that? Well, the covenant is simply this. We are in a promised relationship with God. God has made us certain guarantees. If we will do this, He will do this. And the beauty is He starts off with grace. And because we don't deserve this offer of a covenant. And so He starts off with grace. And so for those who think, well, I could never be good enough to serve God, you're right. You could never be good enough to serve God on your own. But that's not the requirement. The requirement is that you do your best. And so when we talk about being in a covenant, it begins with those who are old enough. The becoming a Christian is a serious thing. You have to have a mind that is able to grasp the consequences as well as the rewards for what you will do and the penalties if you don't do it. And there will come a point where you reach what God will look at on you individually as an age of reckoning, where your first sin will be counted against you. I suspect it's different for every person. But once you have hit that point, serving God in any other way, if you're not yet in that covenant position where you have heard the word and have believed it, where you have accepted the fact that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and you have confessed that with your lips, where you have realized that you have sin in your life, that it was wrong, that it needs to be stopped, and you are sorry for it, and you repent of your sins, and then you culminate that with baptism, where you die to sins and you're buried and your sins are washed away and you raise to walk a newness of life. And now you are in that covenant position with God. Prior to the age of accountability, for a lack of a better term, that's just a way to say it to understand. If you're of an age where you would not be expected to make such a decision because you're too young, you're in a covenant position with God. Your sin has not separated you from God because it hasn't been counted against you. What age is that? I don't know. I can tell you when I got to the age of 13, I was a pretty crummy kid in some ways. And I can remember sitting at the kitchen table one Saturday morning telling my mom, you know, I think I need to be baptized. And she said, yeah, I think you do. There comes a point where you will know. And because it was younger for some than others, or because it was older for some than others, don't use that as your gauge. Use as your gauge, I believe now I know enough to make that lifelong commitment. You're in a covenant position with God. The second part is to remain in a covenant position with God. If you sign a contract to buy a house and you put the down payment down and you go in, you get a loan, you get the keys to that house, so far everybody is keeping their part of the bargain. But the moment you stop making payments, you've broken that contract. And after a while, you'll be removed from that house. There is a time in our Christian lives where people of the covenant can reject the terms of the covenant and remove themselves from that covenant, even without meaning to, because they're no longer walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, God, we have fellowship with one another, fellow Christians, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. That walk of life is that continuing to abide by the terms of the covenant. And just like if you fall behind on your payments, but you make them up and you pay the whatever penalties associated with that, now you're back in a covenant position. You can become back in a covenant position with God, but you have to come back on his terms. You have to repent of your sins and you have to start walking in his way, or the sins cannot be forgiven. So as we talk about this return to simpler times, understand that as we look at five things I have thought of that will help us, they will not do you any good if you are not in a covenant position with God. If you are not, or if you suspect you're not, let me encourage you to do something about that. Begin to think very deeply of your situation before God. Now, what do we mean by returning to simpler times? I always kind of go back to this idea. When I was young, it was just kind of idyllic. I had a certain amount of freedom as long as I conducted myself in a certain way. Mom was more concerned about my sick sister, so for me to get on my bike and just ride off for 4 or 5 hours was dandy with her, as long as I was back in time for meals. But it was safe back then. There were mean people, but when mean people were discovered, they were removed from society very quickly. And so we had that, but when I came home, it was a haven. I was secure there. I was loved there. And the reason that I had that was because my parents were godly people. But mainly I had it because God loved me as his child. Happy the people to whom such blessings fall, King David said in Psalms 144:15. Happy the people whose God is the Lord. In Proverbs 14:26, it says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. When I think about simple times, I think about the gifts that have been given to me, first by God and by Christ, but also by godly people who were in my life, and especially my parents at the young age. But again, when I was younger, like hopefully most of our young people, I didn't think about the big problems of the world. There wasn't a lot of overt sin around us because it was taken care of. I don't remember ever going to school and having some sinful idea presented that I had to accept. That's not the case everywhere anymore. As a matter of fact, happy may be one of the last bastions of safety when it comes to our school system, and we still have to keep up with it. We always will have to do that. But how do we return to the times where we don't have to deal with so much nonsense and where our children and our grandchildren are not in danger? Well, here are five suggestions for you. And they will involve you, by the way. Usually when we think about solving problems and taking care of things, we think about what other people need to do. That cannot be so for a Christian. Here is the first thing. Begin each day with prayer and thanksgiving. This is a piece of advice that there is, I have no hesitation in giving. If you start your day talking to God in a humble, loving, thankful way, it will change the direction of your life. In Philippians chapter 4, the end of verse 5 says, the Lord is near. Philippians chapter 4, the end of verse 5, the Lord is near. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Sometimes we read in at different times within the scripture where somebody is asking for something and God is not pleased with it. And typically there is certain things that are common to the reason that the prayers are not received well by God. But I think one of the main things is a lack of thankfulness. Part of it is also a lack of recognition of God's holiness and who He is, where He is in relationship to where we are, that He is the master and we are the servant. But again, present your prayer with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So, if you are going to ask for rain, something that seems very common sense to me, be sure and thank God for the tenth of an inch of rain that you got last week. Because if you're not thankful in the small things, why would He give you something big? How many times have you asked your parents when you were smaller for something and they weren't as inclined to let you have it because you were not thankful with what you had? There were times where I would sit down at the dinner table and I would kind of turn my nose up at it, but I don't ever remember saying, "What is this slop?" That's the reason I stand before you today. I don't ever remember whining to my mother out loud, "Are we having this again?" Because I know what my dad would have done. It was really important for us as children to understand that our father worked hard to put food on the table, that our mother worked hard to prepare that food. And it had to be received with thanksgiving. In Exodus 16:2, and you don't need to turn over there, but the Israelites were complaining. You can if you want. The Israelites were complaining about their fare in the desert. And they said, "Why, when we were in Egypt, we used to sit around pots of meat." They didn't mention the fact that they were slaves. They said, "Oh, we sat around pots of meat." That was how much they had. God was displeased with them. He still took care of them, but that attitude was displeasing. When you begin your day with prayer, make sure you also begin that prayer with thanksgiving. Because when you do, it will change your attitude. For one thing, it will allow you to realize that, yes, indeed, God did give you a tenth of an inch of rain earlier. And the God who can give a tenth of an inch of rain can give you 2 inches this week. He also knows what we need, what will draw people closer to Him, and it may be that we have to go through difficult times for other people to be able to have a chance to repent and draw closer to Him. We don't know. And so with thanksgiving, we present our request to God. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for the rain that you will send, and thank you for taking care of us when it is not time for the rain to be sent. That applies not just for rain on crops. It applies to every raining down of blessings in your life that you can think of. The first thing to do, if you want to return back to simpler times, begin your day with prayer and thanksgiving. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Even when you don't get the desire of your heart, if the main desire of your heart is God's will, you'll get the main thing, and that will cause peace in your life. The second thing to do is to read from the Word of God and let Him guide you. I suppose if you were to take a poll of Christians worldwide for all time, that one of the most comforting scriptures would be the 23rd Psalm. And I want to read just a portion of that. When we talk about reading the scriptures and letting God guide you, look at this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Now, you might be looking at that and say, "Well, where's the Word of God in that? I don't see where reading the Word of God is contained in that." The Lord is my shepherd. If you want to find the shepherd, you're going to have to go to his pasture. You cannot find God's guidance without going to His Word. But don't you want that? The Lord is my shepherd. If He is, then you won't want. That means you won't have needs that will be unfulfilled. It doesn't mean that you won't have desires that where everything you want is given to you. That's not what that passage means. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I think about that a lot. If you want to talk about returning to simpler times, maybe we need to return to those quiet waters. I still remember Carolyn and I going to a place called Utopia, Texas for the first time. And we got a little cabin on the river, and there was a wide spot in that river, and the water was still. And I can remember walking down at the river and looking down. I could see to the bottom. I could see fish in there, and I could see turtles walking on the bottom of that river. It has stayed with me to this day. And the restoration that I had to my spirit, to my soul, of just being by those still waters was incredible. I think about that when I want to calm myself down from time to time. You can go beside quiet waters every single day of your life by turning to the Word of God and letting the Shepherd guide you. So the second way to return to simpler times, more righteous times, is to read from the Word of God and to study the Word of God every single day. The third is this, to be aware of God's presence throughout the day. For me, it's no problem because I try to start the day with prayer and I try to always read before I feed my tummy. I don't have any problem being aware of God at the first of the day, but then the day descends. And the fires start, and I have to go and put the fires out. And sometimes I am unaware, to my shame, I'm unaware of God's presence. If you want to have a return to the life that God really wants you to have, you've got to be aware of His presence. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5. It starts off with the main idol of this world. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. How different would your life be if you were content with what you had? I've used this example before, and I know it's a silly example, but I love it. It's a cartoon called Calvin and Hobbes. By the way, Calvin we have right here with us today. I'm not sure where Hobbes is. Calvin, the little boy, says to his imaginary tiger friend, or stuffed tiger, but it's imaginary. He says, "What would you want if you could have anything?" And they both thought about it, and Calvin says, "I would like to be the king of the world," or something like that. And Hobbes says, "I'd like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." And Calvin says, "What a pathetic wish to have." And then in the next frame, they show Hobbes eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich saying, "I got what I wanted." Can I read this again? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. The secret to happiness is not waiting for something on the outside to make you happy. The secret to happiness is being content with what you have. We're going to heaven. We don't deserve that. But if we will remain children of the covenant, God will reward us with heaven. Be content with that. There's nothing better. And then look at this. Be content with what you have because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." There are some people that wonder, why didn't God take care of me in that? And there's two things that are a possibility there. One, you left God and He couldn't take care of you. Or two, He did and you didn't have enough on the ball to recognize that He was. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The only time we're apart from God is when we leave. So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" If you want to return to simpler times, to these idyllic times that you look at, don't be discontent with what you have now. Do something about it. And one of the things we need to do is have an awareness of God's presence. The fourth thing we need to do is to do what we can. Somebody mentioned that our speaker at the ladies' seminar brought up that idea of each one, reach one. It's an old idea, but it is an excellent idea. I would like to adjust that to each one of you reach two. Because if you just reach one, and next year that one reaches one, and next year that one reaches one, after 32 years you'll have 32 people. But if you reach two, and after a year those two people reach two, after 32 years you'll have over a billion people. Now I realize at some point that chain will stop because of the sin of others. But it's not there yet. Do what you can. Mark chapter 6 and verse 35. It's a familiar passage, maybe one that we don't think of in this way, but let's look at it just for a second. It was late in the day. Jesus has been talking to the people. It was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." Isn't that interesting? We want to pray that people will come to a knowledge of God, but do we ever feed them spiritually? Do you wonder if maybe God is looking down upon you saying, "You give them something to eat"? God will always do his part. But part of what God has done is he has put us here on earth as his servants to serve. So we need to be doing what we can. Give them something to eat. The fifth thing is this: trust God to do the rest. After we've done what we can, trust God to do the rest. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God will take care of those that you are concerned of in your life for their physical needs. You have your responsibility as well, but those who you're worried about their health, God will take care of what needs to be taken care of. When it comes to whether or not we're going to get that next rain when we really need it, God will take care of that and the way to get through it if we don't. When it comes to everything in our life, we just need to trust God. We need to do our part. Do what you can. But then we need to trust God to do the rest. And if we do all this and we put it in a circle and we repeat it, and after you have begun your day with prayer and reading and trusting God and then doing what you can and trusting him to do the rest, you get up the next day and you do the same thing. And your life will change. It may not be as fast as you would like, but your life will change. And someday you'll have an opportunity to serve God in an even better way in heaven. If you want to return to simpler times, to righteous times, you have your part to do. Are you willing to do it? Now, we started off with people of the covenant. If you're not yet a Christian and you're old enough to be one, you need to understand that God wants with all of his heart for you to become a Christian. He allowed Jesus to die for you, but he cannot force you to accept the terms of the covenant. You have to accept it. If you've been a Christian and you've strayed, he's not going to force you to come back, but he wants you to come back. His grace makes provision for you to come back. But if you're not a person of the covenant, you need to start thinking about that seriously. If you're ready to do something about it today, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?